Well, it is Good Shepherd Sunday, and if you read the Gospels like I mentioned to the kids, you notice Jesus does often refer to his followers as sheep. It is likely that Jesus, of course, is picking up on that imagery of the psalm that we love, Psalm 23, right? Referring to God as a shepherd who guides us all the days of our lives. Still, I know a lot of people don't like being referred to as sheep. Right? They're maybe even offended by that image. I've had people say that. I find it offensive. And why is that? It's probably because it's been long assumed that sheep are so dumb. Right? It is also a derogatory term, you know? Like for people who are acting as a group, acting dumb, we call them sheeple, right? Sheeple. So you might be surprised to know that scientists from Cambridge have proven for us that sheep are actually quite intelligent, particularly within the animal kingdom. Researchers performed in-depth studies of sheep, and they found that sheep experience a wide range of emotions, and they then demonstrated that the average sheep can distinguish between at least 50 different faces of fellow sheep and humans and other types of animals, and that memory and knowledge will stay with them for years. This, scientists say, is a sign of clear intelligence. But there's still a reason why we think of sheep as dumb. It's because sheep act very stupidly when they're frightened. As herd animals, they will do very dumb things when they become fearful. However, just a note of wisdom from the lead scientist from Cambridge, who reminded us that, quote, any animal, including humans, once they are scared, don't tend to show signs of intelligent behavior, unquote. Now, we humans, I think, were the most intelligent species on the planet, but maybe it is, in a part, our tendency to react so often and blindly to fear that Jesus refers to us as sheep, right? But of course, what about the good shepherd of the sheep? Jesus says, we'll know his voice when we hear it. So my question is, do we know the voice of the good shepherd when we hear it? Because there are many voices in the world. There are many competing voices in the world. There are the dominant, I would say, quite controlling voices in our society, and I would say maybe the most dominant is the voice of fear. America has been called a culture of fear by others, believe it or not, where peddlers of fear appeal to our deepest anxieties in order to gain power and advantage. It is fair to say that these peddlers of fear are probably a lot like the wolves Jesus describes in our story today. You know, or perhaps some translations say, not hired hand, but thieves. The thieves. And the fear peddlers come in many different forms. I'm sure you can think of some right now. Our societal fear peddlers, or world leaders, for instance. Politicians, advertisers, advocacy groups, among others. Maybe there's just people in your own life who tend to be a voice of fear and speak fear into your heart. And there are many different reasons for peddling fear, but none of the reasons, at least in general, usually are terribly beneficial to you and I. Now, every once in a while, yes, we should be fearful. But let's be honest. I mean, the media needs sensational, often fear-inducing stories to focus on to ensure people will tune in and watch or read their stories. Advertisers use fear to sell their products, right? Fear of a hazard or health issue or an embarrassing or humiliating event, maybe just danger itself. Ever since Edward Bernays, if you know him, he applied the theories of his uncle, a little guy named Sigmund Freud, to the psychology of marketing in the U.S., and it has been the case ever since. He wrote a book in 1928 called Propaganda, and Bernays asked this: if we understand the mechanism and motives of the mind, of the group mind, Is it not possible to control and regiment the masses according to our will without their knowing it? Marketers said, yeah. And they have been right. There's a branch of psychology called neuromarketing, which studies the human brain's response to different kinds of advertising. Guess what they figured out? Fear sells, literally. Insurance companies are notorious, I think of lots of them, you know, employing fear like that Allstate commercial guy, Mayhem, running around, showing every possible disaster that could strike at a moment's notice. Your barbecue blows up at a tailgate, you know, while you're just out having fun. Or all those medical or drug-related ads that start out like very ominously, you know, every 30 seconds, someone dies of a heart attack. It just sets the tone for fear. And let's not forget the advertisements that make you feel fearful of being inadequate or being publicly humiliated in some way. Like, I think deodorant ads and shampoo ads have the corner on those. But I always like to think of the bounce dryer guy named Harry, if you guys remember him. I just thought this was hysterical. He advertised the bounce dryer sheets commercial, and Harry is wearing this very nice green shirt, but it's full of wrinkles, and he's, you know, pitching something to potential clients, but he's all wrinkly, and it's not going well because of it. And the ad concludes with a little commercial lyric. They're singing, you know, if only Harry had used some bounce to dry, yeah, he'd be less wrinkly and winning at life, right? Like, yikes. In other words, wrinkly clothes can make you lose in life. Wow. Okay, but let's not forget about politicians. Because we are, of course, moving into election cycle, fear has been and continues to be used to get politicians elected. Fear is used by some politicians to get people to acquiesce to something they might not otherwise, or that they might even oppose otherwise, to keep those in power, right? And to benefit them financially. And the tactic is not new. I mean, this has been going on for a long time, of course. But it has become a little more obvious, I think, perhaps in recent years. The Nazi leader, Hermann Göring, actually explained this concept very well about how people can be made fearful in order to support a war that they otherwise wouldn't. He wrote this: "The people don't want war, but they can always be brought to the bidding of their leaders. This is easy. All you have to do is tell them they are being attacked and denounce the pacifists for lack of patriotism and for exposing the country to danger. It works the same in every country," unquote. You see, my friends, we are surrounded by invitations on all sides to fear. And as Jesus said, these wolves do something specific in this story. He says they scatter. They scatter the sheep. In other words, they divide people. While a certain amount of fear, again, is rational and protective, it can so easily be manipulated and become a powerful tool to control when wielded by the wrong hands. Because just as Jesus describes in the thieves, they, quote, care nothing for the sheep, unquote. Fear divides and scatters us, and we become so busy and distracted protecting ourselves or even fighting with one another out of fear, we don't even realize what's going on. So, we sheep, I think we are a lot like sheep, we need a reminder to ignore and even clearly oppose the voices of the thieves and the wolves that surround us with fear, and instead to listen, to follow the voice of the good shepherd, the one who calls us by name and actually leads us out of fear, out of danger, out of division, and into, notice Jesus, we're teaching here, unity. He actually says that we may be one flock under one shepherd. That's the goal of the good shepherd. Unlike the thieves and wolves, the good shepherd does care and loves us. Instead of taking from us for personal gain, the Good Shepherd gives his life for us sacrificially. Because in God, we really have nothing to fear, ultimately. We are always in the hands of the one who loves us, who will never let us go in this life and in death. And that is the Good Shepherd. So whose voice or voices are you listening to? Is it the voice of the Good Shepherd? Or is it the thieves, the hired hands, the wolves? The voice of one will lead to peace and love, and the voice of the other will lead to fear, division, and even hatred. A friend relayed a story a few years ago about a discussion he was having with his very young granddaughter about cloning, he's a scientist, and about Dolly the sheep. Some of you might remember Dolly was the first animal that was ever cloned by scientists. And he was trying to explain it, but it was just over her head. But she cut right through that explanation he was giving to ask him a pressing question. And she looked up at him, and it struck him when she asked it. She said, "Grandpa, do the people studying Dolly love her?" Well, he didn't know how to answer that. And it's not that they had necessarily, you know, bad motives, but it struck at something that we sometimes forget, something important. But there are a lot of reasons why people are trying to control or do things to us and control our choices, but it is only the Good Shepherd that's doing it in love, that is being present to us in love, who is truly wanting our best. So be skeptical and listen, because God calls you by name. Listen for the voice of the Good Shepherd. Pray that you will hear that voice, that calling above all the clamor, above the fear and the wolves and the thieves of this world. And if you wonder how you'll know the Good Shepherd's voice when you'll hear it, you'll know it because it will lead you to a place of still waters, peace, love, even in the valley of the shadow of death. The Good Shepherd's voice will lead you to a place of goodness and mercy that will follow you all the days of your life. So ignore the thieves and wolves of fear, because your Good Shepherd is calling you to fear not. Amen.